Well, good morning, y'all. Happy 4th of July. It's awesome to be with you this morning and speaking to you from Napa Valley, California, where my wife and I are on vacation out here. Whenever we're in this area, I always enjoy going and touring the beautiful vineyards that produce some of the wines that we love to drink the most. And so today, I'm recording this in one of our favorite vineyards called the Cliff Family Vineyards up on Howell Mountain. And Howell Mountain is one of our favorite areas of growing wine because of what the winemakers called the terroir. And the terroir is a French word that actually is derived from a Latin word meaning earth. And it's the idea that everything that makes up that dirt, that soil, that place that makes it unique is what makes the uniqueness of that vineyard to produce a very different wine from any other wine. The way that I say it is it's like the X factor where you have everything that comes into play in that particular area that makes it very special. And so in the instance of Howell Mountain, the soils are made up of a decomposed volcanic ash and a red clay that is high in iron and pulverized volcanic rock, and all of that together creates a very unique soil that's found nowhere else in the world and creates a very special wine that's pursued by people all over the world. And all of that together makes up the terroir, which is that unique setting that makes the wines in this particular case bigger and bolder and darker and stronger and more beautiful than any other wines, and those are the wines that we enjoy. Today we're going to talk about your terroir. Jesus talks about the importance of the soils of our heart when he tells the story of the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And he says, the fruit that you bear in your life, how strong your faith is or even isn't, or if it will even survive, is all determined by the terroir of your life. Those of you who know me know that I think it's incredibly important to spend time thinking through our faith, evaluating our relationship with God, and even that we have to build our own faith from the ground up with our own two hands, so to speak. I think that we have to do it on our own so that we own it and we embrace it to the point that the faith that we have built really drives who we are and what we do in this life. But there are far too many of us who like the idea of having a great faith, but we don't want to roll up our sleeves and do the work that it takes to build that faith and to create a faith that is sustainable. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, when he tells the story of the parable of the sower, and it goes like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some seed fell among the path. So he's going to create four categories of where this seed is thrown, and the first one is that which is thrown along the path. And that which is thrown along the path was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Second category is that some of the seed fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no water. Other seed, the third category, fell among the thorns, and so when the plant grew up, the thorns grew up with it and eventually choked it out and died. And then the last one is the seed that fell on good soil, and when it came up, it yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. So Jesus is describing the terroir of our lives, of our hearts, and how it affects our faith in the fact of will our faith grow or not based on the growing conditions of our hearts. And so the Word of God falls on people, different people, in different ways at different times. And by the way, we don't have to guess at what Jesus is saying here and what the meaning of this parable is, because the disciples in the middle of this text ask him, what's the meaning of this parable? And Jesus goes on and says, well, the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. And those along the path, the first category of people, they're the ones who hear, but then eventually the evil one comes and steals away the word from their hearts so that they later will not believe and eventually, ultimately, will not be saved. In other words, this first category of people are those who, for the first time, hear the Word of God. They're excited about it. They have developed a faith of sorts, and they love the idea of having a faith, but even though they had good intentions, there was something else. There was some temptation, some indulgence, some addiction that they couldn't resist, to the point that it was always lurking out there in the back of their minds, until finally they decided to trade their faith in God for those things that were more attractive than the things of God. And so they fell away from their relationship with God. And then Jesus says, there's the second category. It's those who are on rocky ground. They're the ones who immediately receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, they're excited about it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but when trouble or persecution comes, they quickly fall away because there is nothing there to anchor them, nothing to hold them. This is the way it was for me, by the way. As many of you know, I fell away from my relationship with God for a lot of years. And my parents were very strong people of faith, and I was raised in the church, which means a lot to me as a family of faith. But the truth is that my faith was really their faith. And it was like I believed in God because I was raised to believe in God. I went to church because I was raised to go to church. And so when the tough times came in my own life, when I started struggling, there wasn't any deep rootedness in my relationship with God, and so I quickly fell away. Because the problem is, when we try to live off of the faith of our parents, we soon find out it's not enough. Because as it turns out, it's not faith at all, it's just empty religion. There has to be more to our faith than just, this is just the way that I was raised. Right? Because that faith is not deeply rooted. There's nothing to anchor us. And so when stuff happens, and it will happen, it always does, we will fall away because there's nothing anchoring us in our relationship with God, because it's not the faith that you built, it was the faith that your parents built. The third category is the seed that fell among the thorns. And that stands for, Jesus says, stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they're easily distracted, and so they never mature, and eventually they too fall away. I think, again, this is people who have good intentions, people who want to have faith. They want to have a relationship with God, but they can't get past the stuff of this world, and their life becomes about nothing more than just the daily grind. My wife and I have been out here in Napa for a while now, and we've been seeing some of the devastation from the wildfires that took place last August, and some of our favorite wineries were destroyed in the wildfires. And even the vineyards that weren't destroyed by the wildfires were still affected by the wildfires, because the smoke came in from the fires and it just kind of hung in the valley, and it created what is called smoke taint. And as long as that smoke is infiltrating the grapes, then that smoke taint seeps in and the taste of those grapes, the terroir, the purity of the terroir that the winemakers are trying to make, get tainted, because now it's much more of a prevalent smoke taste than it is the taste of the terroir. And so last year, there were millions of dollars of grapes that were absolutely just dumped, and most winemakers in the valley are not making 2020 wines because of the fact that they're smoke tainted and the grapes weren't good enough to be able to make the wines from. And I think the same is true when we get so caught up in the superficiality of this world. It taints our view of what's right and what's real. It taints the real person that lies inside of us, our inner self that God wants us to become. And a little of the world is pretty common in all of us, but it's when we become immersed in it, that's when we become completely distracted by the stuff of this world, and the stuff of God gets pushed away, and eventually we too will fall away. The last thing category that Jesus describes here is the seed that's planted on good soil. And Jesus said that stands for those people who have good hearts, those who have seized the word of God, and they're growing in their faith, and they hold on to that faith no matter what, sticking with it and persevering until the very end, producing a rich life that yields a crop 100 times more than what was planted. This is obviously the goal of the Christian life. In the business world, we have what we call the 10x rule, which says that, number one, you should set targets for yourself that are 10 times greater what you believe you can even achieve. And the second one is like it, in that you should take actions that are 10 times greater than what you believe are necessary to achieve those goals. This is built off of the belief that the biggest mistake most people make in life is not setting goals high enough. And I just love the fact that Jesus throws the 10x thing out and he raises the bar and he says, it's about having 100x. And I think that he's really here inspiring us to live our best life, a bigger life than we could ever imagine that we could ever have. Because the truth is, the biggest mistake that any of us will ever make is that we're not setting goals for our personal development, for our relationship with God, and for our lives itself. We're not setting the bar high enough. So instead of achieving the goals that are 100x that we want to set for ourselves, instead we've lowered the bar and settled into a life of mediocrity instead. And so we never achieve the abundant life that Jesus promises if we live a life following him. One of the important things that I think that this passage also identifies that is really important to say is that Jesus is not promising us a rose garden. He's not saying that this is going to be easy to achieve 100x life, right? In fact, he's saying that most people who fit that last category of the seed that's planted in the good soil, that those are the people that hold on no matter what comes their way, that they stick with it and they are persevering until the very end. Those are all descriptions of what I think is about the difficulty of life that we have to endure. And one of the things that I've learned in my own life that the Bible also teaches is that persevering through the pain of life produces a character that changes us forever. We become different when we go through tough stuff. We have a depth and a substance that we've never had before, and our roots go deep into our relationship with God. And it's deeply anchored because of what we've been through, and we've held on to that faith. We've persevered, and it moves us from the superficiality of this world into a life that has meaning and purpose and depth. When you tour through a vineyard like this, and you're out here and you walk through the vineyard with the winemaker, inevitably the winemaker will bend down and he'll grab a handful of dirt and he'll say, these vines had to struggle to get here. He'll say, we don't water them, the soil is rocky and dry, but what happens is the more that these vines have to struggle to survive, the deeper that they send their roots into the ground, the stronger they become, and the stronger they are, the better the wine is, because their flavors are way more concentrated and powerful. And I think that's exactly what happens to us when we struggle through the hard stuff of life. We have to dig in and build this deep-rooted faith, again, with our own two hands, what a faith that we have built. And when we do, it becomes the power in our life. And that experience of persevering and struggling through the hard times and holding on to our faith makes us stronger and better. The Bible says that from the ashes of our past, from the pain of our brokenness, from all the stuff that we've been through in our lives, that's all of that makes up the terroir of our lives. And we can fully embrace it and know that from all of that, God will produce something great. He uses all the stuff of our past to mold us into the people He's created us to become. And it's in those hard times that our roots go down so deep that our faith becomes solidified, and it's in that moment that our faith becomes strong and beautiful. So, we need to evaluate the soil conditions of our life. And I think you have to ask yourself, has my heart become hardened to the point that I'm not even listening to what God has to say to me anymore? Have I become so enamored with the stuff of this world that I am no longer enamored with the stuff of God? Is my heart so crowded with all of the superficiality of this world because I have given in to the daily grind and there's no room for God in my heart? Can we find the courage to dig deep and create a new reality for our future where we walk through the rest of our lives and we're creating 100x goals because we know that we can blow through the limits and the constraints of this world because now we have God at our backs. And when that happens, the possibilities are endless. And we're finally freed up to walk through the rest of our lives passionately, fearlessly, and brilliantly. So can you embrace the terroir of your life? Everything that has made you uniquely you, and understand that from this point forward, God can use that to create in you the person that He created you from the beginning of time to become.